If you got the email that I sent out at the end of the week, I had the privilege of meeting Dan. Pronounce your last name, Dan.
Kostrevsky.
Okay. Danny Kay. Okay. Yes, it is. Yeah, I thought of that when I was doing this a while back, and I didn't realize that how long you had been in the county, Dan. This morning during prayer time, Greg and I knew Debbie had met you. In fact, I think she rented one of your properties for a while.
She was a blessing in our lives, and it's part of my testimony how God brings people into your life throughout your life.
Yeah. Well, she was a blessing to you. She's a blessing to us.
Amen.
Yeah, and she's one of these people that you can't tell her a name and she doesn't know them and their father and mother and so forth.
And you got Greg here and Sabrina. I shared with you this morning. Greg has literally saved my son's life on a youth ministry situation that we had with our church in Lynn.
How about that?
So you see how the Lord comforts a nervous guy like myself, and having people here in the congregation that bring.
Yeah. Well, there's smiles on most of the faces here, so no long knives are being drawn. Dan has an interesting background. I don't know how much of your own personal testimony you'll weave in today. We met months ago, and we sat up here and just got to know each other. And Dan shared some of his personal testimony. Thankfully, he's not only a believer in Christ, serving the Lord, but here in our area. And you're the, is it president of Gideon, the local Gideon camp? Is that the title?
I'm local camp president.
Yeah.
And also the area director for seven camps, seven counties in western Kentucky.
Okay. So we're thankful for that ministry, Dan. We've known and appreciated them and supported them for a number of years. Glad to know that you're a part of it. And thank you for having a slot in your busy schedule to come and share with us today. So would you come on up and...
Yes.
And do that now. Thank you.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Good morning. I'm Dan Kostrevsky from here in Katy's. Been here in the area since 1985. I landed on Vagel Drop Zone and had to walk the South Road and get a sandwich from the Hawkeye Corners to get back to Fort Campbell because I was lost. But I fell in love immediately upon looking upon the area that this was God's country. So I'm here on behalf of Gideon's International. I'm a member at Ponderosa Baptist Church, where Carol and I, my wife, we live very close there. And Norman and Tracy Cotton have been in our lives for decades as a youth ministry to my sons. So we see how God has played a role in our lives to get me here where I am today. I'll share with you that in the Gideon ministry, we are, as an area director, it's a struggle right now because our churches, everything with the Gideon ministry is through our pastors that we have connections with. Our Gideons come from the churches. Our Gideons are the outreach men's ministry in an interdenominational setting. So just as I just returned from Poland last Wednesday night late on a mission trip outside of Gideon's International. But I'll share with you the presence of the Gideon's International was there. I'll also share with you being with Ukrainian moms and Russian moms very close to the border there, taking care of orphans, not knowing where their husbands are, and they may be at war together against each other, but they were there in a Nazi headquarters building, former territory of Russia. They were there praising and singing to God. I made an audio copy of that just brought me to tears just listening to it. That they could come together as moms, praising God with their children and orphan children among them. And that's just a testament to the power of the cross. In regards to the power of the cross, that building that they were in had a big swastika on it. And the pastor was passionately sharing how they painted over it four times, and after Clorox and bleach and all the different things you do to get things off a wall, that's the swastika would bleed through that paint over. And after the last, they did it the fifth time, and he said, because they wanted to totally get rid of that swastika to hang the cross, a wooden cross. said, hang that cross. And the swastika did not return. Amen. So these are just some of the recent experiences with Gideon's, you know, being out there. And I used the Gideon Bible app because it was in Russian and Ukrainian and Polish. So while they were, and Google Translate, got to have Google Translate. So between those three, we were able to share and share and have discussions and be able to share the gospel. And that's how the Lord works through us, through the believers and getting out there. And here I am, send me. That's our motto for our Katie's Camp Gideons here. So, but with that said, we're living in a challenging world right now. We have numerous, you know, each Gideon, before you become a Gideon, you end up signing these papers, and I'm just going to share a little bit of the application, some of the scriptural things that you have to say yes to. Do you believe in the Bible as the inspired, infallible word of the Word of God in 2 Timothy 3:16, and you have to sign yes. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the eternal Son of God, as in John 3:16? You have to say yes. You have received Him as your personal Savior, Romans 10:9. Yes. You endeavor to follow Him in your daily life, Romans 12:1-2. Do you believe in the endless lake of fire for the unsaved, Revelations 20:10-15? Here's the big one that has, we've lost Gideons based on this statement. Do you believe in the biblical standard of marriage, Genesis 2:24, between one biological man and one biological woman, under Genesis 1:27? Yes, we have. We've had a big split in the United Methodist Church. It's happened in our community and across the nation. And, you know, when families have been, speaking as a former United Methodist member, when families have been ingrained with a church for decades, not 100 years, it's hard for them to leave that church. And the Gideon ministry recently has had to make, has made the decision that there are unqualified churches now in the United Methodist denomination. So they have separated themselves from that on behalf of that scripture right there. So our Gideon ministry is hurting for membership. I mean, we have post-COVID, and I have some figures here, so I'm not misquoting. I mean, post-COVID, we've lost 12%, 12 to 15% of people have stopped coming to church. Post-COVID. We have about 4,100 churches closing in America every year, with only 1,000 opening. The challenges of being a Gideon in our own USA are reflective in the statements that we have to sign yes to, and a pastor believing in those same statements has to sign this recommendation of application to be in the Gideon ministry. So in part, you know, the Gideon ministry is of professional men and women in the auxiliary, you know, being involved in literally putting God's word in people's hands. And I got a giggle because Debbie goes, oh, you mean the cult? Because, you know, I went on a Trace Diaz weekend years ago. I think Debbie helped take care of the kids that weekend I was gone. I know you did, actually. And I was always told, oh, be ready, it's a cult, you know, this and that, you know. But it's all part of God's walk. It's all part of God's ministry in each individual because we're all so different, okay? And what I love about the Gideon ministry, this is God's word, and God's word is the conviction. Now, I will share with you that as a Catholic boy growing up, and I didn't have grandfathers. We talked about sin a little bit on our discussion last time. See, our family was generationally sinned alcoholism, drug abuse. I didn't have grandfathers. I didn't have an opa, Dan. I didn't have a granddad, okay? Because my parents grew up with such abuse and misery in their childhood, they would not let their fathers, both of them, near us children. Okay, and I don't want to get into all the details of that, but it was some bad business going on. And I used to, you know, have my issues with Catholicism and stuff, but that's My mother used to hide in a Catholic church growing up. She would sleep out of fear under her bed, hanging on to a rosary, hoping that her dad would not come. Okay? So, you know, we don't know what other people have gone through in their lives and why they're at where they're at currently. I'll share with you where I was at growing up as a teenager. I was, as the oldest of five, I was always in charge of stuff, and I didn't understand why I had to go in a booth and tell some guy behind a window all my situations, which I couldn't, I would just make them up anyway. I struggled with that immensely. And finally, as a young teenager, I revolted against it. I turned to alcohol, and I didn't go to church. I didn't want anything to do with God. I got arrested a couple times. I had coaches and stuff get me out of jail so I didn't have to spend the night. And they took care of me at their house. It got so bad with my mother and father and their attempts to raise a godly son, I was supposed to be a priest, just so you all know, because the bishop had his hand on me when I was going through confirmation. So that was the sign. But with all that said, I just going down the wrong, I was fighting a lot in school, and I was encouraged to be fighting because that's the way my dad was raised. And I never got in trouble for fighting. I'd get in trouble for everything else, but not for that. Well, a point came where my dad was done. You're just out of control, kicking you out. When I graduated from high school, I went into a situation. I got arrested right after I graduated. I just turned 18, alcohol-related, and I was sitting in the jail cell, and when I went out to see the judge already knew who I was because of my juvenile situations and said, Dan, you can either go back in that jail cell or you can go see Sergeant Stanley. And I said, I'll go see Sergeant Stanley, United States Army. So therein lies me getting into the Army and out of the town of Perry within 10 days. A Greyhound bus to Fort McClellan, Alabama. Now down there, I was enjoying the Army. I was fed good. I was used to the exercise. I was eating it up. My little battle buddy guy was telling me, Dan, come to the chapel. And I said, buddy, I don't even know what a chapel is. What is that? I'm Catholic. Altar boy. I had no idea what all that business was. So I'm like, no way. This is one of them God things, you know, and he's telling me about being saved and all this other stuff. You know, we're sitting in a foxhole together going through training. I was like, stop. I want to hear it. Well, Thanksgiving's coming around. I was like, man, he says, you're going to have a turkey dinner. There's going to be women there from other companies and stuff. It's a good thing. All right, I'll go. Well, as going to that chapel, boom, I get my Gideon Testament. Not even knowing what it was. There was just the sergeant there handing. If a sergeant hands you something, you take it. I stuck it in my pocket, didn't think twice about it. Had a great time, ate a meal, ended up back at the barracks. My buddy says, Dan, take this, put this in your footlocker. I go, why? The drill sergeants won't flip it over again because your socks weren't 6 inches, 4 inches on your underwear, and 3 inches on your socks. I said, okay, I put it there. Because a lot of foxhole Christians back with our drill sergeants were Vietnam vets. So, with that said, my footlocker never got flipped over. Ronald Reagan gets elected president. The Russians move all their forces up to the borders in the Soviet Union. Every one of us in the company and many others were all sent to Germany, straight to Germany, to man the front. So I was packing up my stuff in my duffel bag, and I had this little book, stuck it in the envelope outside of the duffel bag. That's the way the old duffel bags were. They had this little envelope on the outside with a snap on it. You stuck it in there. It barely wedged in there. I snapped it, forgot all about it. I'm going through Nuremberg, the training, you know, that they do to get you in process and to the front lines, basically, because my unit was already there. I got in an M151A2 Jeep with a mounted M60 machine gun and 200 bullets and got sent up on a ridgeline looking at T-55 and T-62 Russian tanks and a bunch of troops down there. And reality hit. I said, Sergeant, you know, he's coming by giving us the rundown. And I said, Sergeant, I only have 200 bullets. He goes, you see those tanks over there? You'll be lucky to get through 50. And he just kept walking. And I was like, man, this is getting good. So I'm laying on, you know, out of boredom, I'm leaning on the back of my duffel bag with had all my winter stuff in it. And that something was digging me in my back in that little envelope. It was the Gideon Testament. Out of literal boredom, because we had nothing to do, but me and another Spec 4 sitting on the 60 machine gun, I pulled it out. And I was just talking to somebody, gave me that paper. When you open it up, towards the middle is Romans and then John. I just happened to read John out of boredom. I'm reading John, and things are starting to click. Oh, God is good. The whole concept of John being a baby, jumping in the womb when Mary arrived. All these little things started talk. God's word was already starting to convict me. I would read this little Bible in secret in the back of that Jeep for the next 3 or 4 weeks. We were sitting out there on that ridgeline. We got back to the barracks. You know, everybody's going to get a pass to the big city of Nuremberg, the city of sin. There's plenty, as an 18-year-old with a bunch of seasoned veterans, they're ready to break old Dan in with the drinking and partying and all the other shenanigans you can imagine in the districts of downtown city of Nuremberg. And I'll share with you, I jumped, you know, I want to fit in. I'm a team player, you know, and I'm doing some things that then the Lord just telling me, what is it, 2 Corinthians 10:13? 1 Corinthians 10, he's going to give you an exit. Y'all hear me? I read that in here. He's going to give you an exit. Before things got really bad, I escaped. I took the exit. And I went out in this park bench in Nuremberg, in the middle of that city. And I left my battle buddy. So I knew I was breaking the code right there. So I left my battle buddy in a bad place. And I was sitting there, and the sun was coming up. And this is very reflective of me when you read in Genesis the creation of the world. Because as a boy, I grew up in the country, in western New York. Somebody told me about Yonkers here earlier. Well, this is western New York. This is the Genesee River Valley. It's God's creation in your face. Wildlife, white-tailed deer. A lot of we talk about it here in Kentucky, and that's why I live here, because it reminds me so much. But it's a little bit warmer. That's where I grew up. And God was already working on me there, showing me his creation, even though I was struggling with situations. So there I am in the city of Nuremberg, and they're passing out these ABC cards. I have one in here somewhere. You've seen them before. ABCs to Christ. Admit you're a sinner, believe, and commit. I'm reading this thing, and it's got a map on it. What's interesting about a soldier and a map, once you learn to read a map, you just got to follow it. I mean, it's just instinctive. I see this map, ABCs to Christ. See, there was a lot of Americans in Germany at that time. So it was in English and German. Tracking with me? So I'm looking at that. Of course, I'm not understanding German. So I follow that thing. And I'm following down through the city streets of Nuremberg. I pass the Catholic Cathedral with the gargoyles on top. And I'm getting nervous. And I'm just like, no, Lord, I'm going, man. I'm going to keep going. I'll go down these little side roads in the city of Nuremberg, and I come to this small building. It's got a wooden cross on it. And I knock. 6:45 in the morning. A young lady answers that door, probably around 25, 26 years old. She looks up and she's just like, whoa. Now just imagine, I don't know what I look like, but I know what I've been doing. And it ain't probably, you know, I'm not in the most presentable looking way. She goes, can I help you? And I held up that card with that map on it. And I said, I need Jesus. She says, hold on a second. Close the door in my face. She went and got what I believe to be her husband. She gets a man, same approximate age, assumed to be her husband, opens the door. Can I help you, sir? I said, yes, sir. I'm here and I need Jesus. He goes, what do you know about Jesus? And I said, I was an altar boy. He smiled just like that. And I said, listen, I just got done reading this little book. And I know that I'm doomed. I'm in deep trouble without Jesus. It's just that simple. I'm coming to you from a place of ill repute and sin. And I'm telling you right now, if I don't get Jesus in my life, I'm going to end up in a lake of burning fire. No doubt about it. Because I'm already hit. I've experienced some of that business. And I don't need that in my life. But I need help. And he said, come with me. Now, this place was a small place, probably half the size, not even half the size of this church. It had a wooden cross right on the center of the wall and a few pews and a place to kneel down. And I knelt down with this man and we talked. And he led me to Christ through what I learned to be the sinner's prayer. But he said a couple key things, and I want our young people to really take note of this. You see, and I caught this in my Testament Bible in the back when I was reading it in the back of that Jeep. It said, "My decision," and he said it just like that. What are the odds? Do you decide to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you decide? I had never, throughout my Catholic upbringing, been asked anything. I was merely just told what to do and the works I need to do to meet some kind of requirement. But when it was asked, "Would you freely receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" And I said, "Absolutely." From that, "Will you proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord?" "Absolutely." And I knelt there and I cried my eyes out. And I felt those chains and those burdens and all the things I've experienced in my past break away. And I was at peace. I regret, and I left. You know, we had some more moments of prayer, and he sent me on my way. I grabbed him. He says, "I got to go now." I grabbed him. I said, "What? Is that it?" Because then it, boom, you know how the devil's going to. He's going to take you back to that basic training guy, the Baptist, trying to work me over. "Does this mean once saved, always saved?" And he said, "Buddy, brother," he says, "you're in God's hands now. And I can tell it's going to be one heck of a journey." He says, "I have to send you, go." And I went. I got back to the train station. Of course, I was late. Went back to my barracks, got chewed out. I got sent to my room. And I dug out my little Bible and I continued reading. That is a Gideon testament to y'all right there. Now later, many years later, as Debbie and Greg well know, that I was caught behind the lines in Iraq. I had a newborn child, Shane. My wife, newly married. And I was sent, you know, I was a Special Forces Green Beret. So I had gone through a lot of training to get to where I was at. My wife and I, you know what I didn't do? As a spiritual leader in my house, I'll just tell you straight up, right after it says this in the Gideon Bible, and this is my passion for it, seeking a church. I didn't get connected with a church body. Okay? So I was out there reading the Bible on my own, basically, without any cultivation of the seed. You, the church, are the cultivators of the seed that is planted. And that is it. I didn't. So I'm sitting there in a ditch, deep into Iraq, surrounded by armor, enemy armor, compromised by two little children. They compromised our spider hole in the ground. I came out getting ready to shoot two kids. And my team leader said at the perfect moment, "Dan, we didn't come here to shoot kids." The kids ran away and told everybody where we were at. Called the rescue of ODA 525. It's 8 Green Berets deep inside Iraq on a scud hunt mission and surveillance of Highway Number 7 that got compromised and got caught. So we're surrounded in the battle of a lifetime. Our radios got destroyed. We were down to a survival PRC 90 Vietnam radio in order to communicate. Of course, the range of a PRC 90 is up from here to that well out there that I'm looking at out the window, that irrigation well. Not too far. So we're sitting there, and in a blink of looking at the sky, time stopped. I'm like, "God, help." I said, "Forgive me, Lord, because I've failed you miserably. I've been married, divorced. I got two daughters. I don't even know where they're at. I've got a young wife sitting there at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. And I've got a newborn son that I've held 3 times. And I failed you miserably, Lord. I haven't been fruitful at all. I've been a secret Christian, if you would. Can you help us get out of here?" Lord, can I have a second chance? Because I'm scared to death that I ain't getting out of there. And he took me right back to that little chapel in Nuremberg when the pastor said, you're in God's hands now, and he's in control. And the realization that God is in control, knowing, one, I'm going to go back to him, or I'm going to go back home to my wife and hold my son Shane. That gave me peace and clarity so I could function and I could breathe and I could feel moisture in my mouth because it was all dried up like cotton mouth. And we fought like junkyard dogs and we survived. And God's grace on that little PRC 90, a voice came over and said, stand by. Just hearing a voice come over that little radio just was like, oh my goodness, somebody knows we're here. The next voice we heard over was an AWACS bird controlling the entire sorties of F-16s flying above Kuwait at the time. And those sorties were able to come in, and God's grace, I'm telling you, it was tight, dropping bombs so close to us and needed to be. Not anyone on our team was injured in any way, shape, or form. The helicopters that came in to rescue us, same thing, not a bullet in their shell. And we were rescued. And that first Sunday that I was back in the United States of America, guess where I was? I was in church and never stopped. So I share with you, when God intervenes in your life in such a manner, and everybody has their story, whether it's health matters, cancer, car accidents, you know, macro degeneration of your eyes. What do? You made it. You made it. And God's calling is for us to be fruitful, to be a witness. And this is the Gideon ministry. I'll share with you these little testaments. We passed out over 1,100 testaments just this last week at the Ham Festival. I was not there. But this is how God works. We put out, we need help. Because our Gideon ministry here is very elderly, and very few that participate. So we made out the call, and Gideons from across the state came and manned that desk. We ran out of scriptures to hand out. That's never happened before in Trigg County Ham Festival. That was the most that we've ever handed out. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. These printed copies are in 108 languages and almost 199 countries. Okay? I just returned from Poland. I just shared with you, and the Gideons are going to be there in about 5 days. Some teams from the United States linking up with the Gideons in Poland, passing out Polish testaments in the country of Poland, like you're talking about there. Right? I'll share in Poland, being there for the past 10, 12 days, that there's an agnostic. I was actually in universities, conversational English, as part of their class, ironically enough. IMB, International Missionary Board, that's who we were with, IMB. I got to serve with missionaries that, well, they have a Toyota Highlander, and they're so excited about this because gas is really expensive there. So they jerry-rigged this thing to use propane and gas. So after it warms up, it kicks over into propane. They can get twice the miles per. I mean, they're cruising. So, but this is the team, and these folks are in their 60s, and a husband and wife team. They are fluent in Slavic, all these different languages. It's just unbelievable. And they use that Toyota Highlander that was shipped in from New Jersey of all places with 50,000 miles on it. So they're getting their money's worth out of this booger, and they fill it with supplies in Poland. And they do the rat line up into Ukraine and these little churches that are being seeded in a war zone. And when they come back, they bring people back that need help and they have no way of getting out. But it's God's churches that are in there making the biggest differences in people's lives. We watched that Sunday school class about justice. God will... He's taking care of people through various ministries, convicting people through his holy word, getting people busy. Things are happening in a big way. You got to understand, we live in a time where millions, 10, 15 million people have migrated into our country. 10 to 15 million people have migrated across Europe. Millions of people have migrated out of the Middle East up into Northern Europe, Germany, all these different countries, France, United Kingdom. I don't know of another time other than maybe World War II when those mass numbers of migrations were taking place. We also live in a time where the cell phone is key, and that was also in Poland. And when I'm working here, and it relates to here in Katy's, Kentucky, because I volunteer at the Way, and I can't get those kids to carry a book around. I even ask them, how many kids read good here? Maybe one or two will raise their hand. How many of y'all can hear good? And they all raise their hand. I go, good, because I want you to listen to God's holy word. And that's the Gideon Bible app, and it's free. And I've used it extensively in multiple languages. But these kids can listen to that, to God's holy word, either King James Version or English Standard Version, and it speaks to them in character, like a podcast. Now, when I say podcast, young people, like, they get on it. They understand. But that's, buddy, I can't tell you. I was at the USO handing out Bibles and Bible app cards, and one of the young soldiers asked me, Dan, he goes, is it in Nepali? I said, Nepali? I don't know. Let's look. So I just pulled it out. Look, boom, it's there. Played it. The guy started getting all booger-eyed on me. I'm like, what's going on? He goes, I've never heard the Bible read in my language. I said, really? And I just learned that the Christianity's on the boom in Nepal right now. Big time. In Nepal. Very influenced by Buddhism. I mean, we live in a country today where we see many of our hotels and gas stations being owned by those of an India background, Hindu. I can't get Gideon Bibles in the hotel rooms, folks. I'm being stopped because they don't want a part of it. During COVID, so many Bibles were just thrown in the trash can. I'm going to be in Bowling Green. I leave tonight. And I'll be in Bowling Green Monday and Tuesday doing my best to get Bibles into hotel rooms because we have thousands, Gideons have thousands and thousands, trailer loads of hotel Bibles to place in hotels. And it's a challenge to do that today. Out of the four hotels we have here, I can only go into two. That's Katy's, Kentucky. Okay? Ooh, who asked? The two that I cannot get into is one is the Red Roof Inn and the other one across. The first one on the right, when you come past the gas station, when you're coming into Katy's, that one will not let us go into the rooms. Now, they have Bibles at their front desk, and they've been given the Gideon card, but they will not let us go into the rooms and place the Bibles. I'll tell you that these hotel Bibles are viewed anywhere from 350 to 700 times in their lifespan, And we check because a lot of them are missing because people take them home and we want them to take them home. How much time do I have? Because I can tell a story about a hotel Bible. Keep going? Okay, let me tell you, this one got me. So I'm a new Gideon and I'm up there in Hopkinsville, you know, my first Gideon Bible distribution. And I'm learning how hotels are not letting us in. I learn about a teacher that heard the Gideons because she's got a family member that's a Gideon. And she goes to the principal and says, hey, I want to give Bibles to my kids in the class. And my uncle is a Gideon and he's going to be here with thousands of Bibles in these trailers. And he says, no, you're not. If I let them guys in here, I got to let all the crazy nuts in here. It's right here at Trig too. Yeah, I got to let them all in here. No way. And then God convicts them. All right, write up a letter, send it out to each parent, and if you can get one kid to say yes, You can have your Gideon buddies come in here and give him a Bible. Okay, I'll do that. She writes letters, teach. Guess how many letters she got back? Come on, somebody throw a guess at me. One. It's the day we're there. I wasn't involved in this. I learned of it. What I understand, the guys, they come in a box of 30. So they're lugging their box to the school. Where are you guys going? We've got teachers waiting for them. You know, it's not easy getting into a high school. I see we got high school kids. That's great here. But if I go into high school, you got to hand over your driver's license. You don't get it back till you leave. A whole, I mean, you're vetted going in and out. So I get, they get in there and they do that presentation to this boy, probably fifth or sixth grade, you know? And then there's a teacher watching this because news got out. Gideon's in town. So there's a teacher watching from the doorway, and she makes a note of, they only gave out one Bible. And she goes, what are you going to do with the rest of that box of Bibles? She goes, well, we've got the lead Gideon guy. He's like, well, we're going to take them back. He goes, no, you're not. You're taking them down to my classroom. He's like, he knows. You know, you got to stay within the parameters, buddy, or you can get in trouble. And he's standing there with these Bibles, and he's like, man, we had to get written permission from that child's parent through that teacher to come into school. You know, I don't care. I've been here for over 30 years, and those kids that are in my class, I was their teacher for their parents. That's why they're in my classroom. You're bringing those Bibles with me right now, and we got to hurry up because my class starts in 5 minutes or whatever. So those guys are like, okay, let's just keep the peace and walk on down there. So they plop the Bibles down, and the teacher knows, man, the guys are not comfortable with this. So if it's all right with you, I'll just go ahead and take over. They're like, okay. You know? So she starts passing out these little Bibles. These hotel Bibles, basically. And she's passing them out. She goes, kids, I want you to know something about these Bibles. She goes, see, I knew this girl long ago that, well, she was in high school just like you're fixing to go into. And she was attractive. She was athletic. She was very popular. You know? And, well, before you knew it, she got hooked on alcohol. And she liked it. By the time she was 16 years old, with the alcohol and a little mix of this and that, she was doing poorly in school. The teachers would call her parents in, and these are affluent church-going people. And they're telling her, your daughter's going down the wrong road. She's got potential. What can we do to stop her? And she got mad. That's it. I want nothing to do with none of you. I'm out of here. She disappeared. She disappeared, literally. She got hooked up with the wrong crowd in the business she was involved with, and the attention she was getting for all the wrong reasons. And she got involved with a group. Disappeared for a couple of years. She was going to hotel rooms for all the wrong reasons. But on one of her visits, it was the door. That little side door, you've all seen them, was open about that much. And inside there, she saw the words, Holy Bible. Immediately, through God's conviction, fell to her knees. And I can relate. Oh my God, help me. What can I do? Lord, help me. The phone's right there. She told the kids, that girl picked up that phone. The only number she could remember was her Gigi. Grandmother. She dialed that phone number, says, Gigi, can you help me? Can you come get me out of here? She goes, where are you, honey? She goes, it's a long drive, Gigi. Can you just tell me where you're at? I'm coming. Told her where she was at, and that grandmother got in that car, and she hit the road. Told Gigi, you're going to have to go in the back by the parking lot. I don't want you to be seen. Okay, I'm coming. Call me right back if you need me. Off Gigi went. She got to her. Before she left, she called the pastor. She called the prayer warrior. She said, start praying me. Get that. I want a hedge of angels protecting me all the way there and all the way back. I'm getting my granddaughter. She drove that 100 or so miles. She got in that parking lot. The granddaughter came running out. She gets in that car, and where do you think they went? They went straight to church. They got the pastor. The pastor was already there. He had a counselor there. They're already there with the prayer warriors, and they got her in this church. She was emaciated, hungry. She prayed. She prayed at that altar for hours with that pastor. She's telling the kids this deal, how it happened. And she grew up as she was in the church. She got her GED. She went to college and met her husband there. She had children and a grandmother. And as she's telling these kids, she says, it's important that you understand the love of God. That he would put his son on the cross with his arms open to hold you through the toughest of times. And she went to her desk, pulled the drawer open, and lifted up her Holy Bible from that hotel room. And as we were talking and you watched your Sunday video, the thing that was ringing in my head was keep the faith. Keep the faith. Jesus even said it. He said, there's going to be tribulations, but I have overcome. Jesus overcame the world. He overcame death. We're going home. You know? And that's one Gideon Bible in a hotel room years ago. Maybe it's one of those ones that I got out there on a desk that was sitting in there. We don't know. But I'll share with you as today goes forward, lots emphasized on these phones. But you got to understand, because a lot of people tell me, Dan, why do you need money? Because it costs $1.50, 60 cents to print one of those little Bibles. And when we run out of money, the money's gone. It just is. I hate to say it like this, but we're in the Bible business. We're the biggest Bible distribution network in the world, but it's the business of raising funds to get Bibles out there, to manage this Bible app. But the thing with the Bible app is, in so many countries, if you get caught with a Christian literature Bible app on your phone, you'll be incarcerated or killed. Because we talk about the millions of people that can't put Christian business on their phones. It's massive. You got countries like Saudi Arabia. Ooh. Afghanistan, you'll be killed immediately. Libya, killed immediately. Maldives, arrested. Morocco, arrested. Saudi Arabia, I mentioned already. Somalia, you just get your head cut off. Yemen, same thing. China will not allow, you can't even have the Quran on your Bible, on your phone in China. And the thing is, they know everything that's on your phone already, because when you download stuff, for all my techie folks out there, it's tracked. India, to name a few. We got a girl that just recently received a Gideon Testament at college. She's from India. She gets her Gideon, and her parents and family warned her, those bad Americans, man, they're going to try to get you doing all kinds of goofy stuff. But whatever you do, don't be listening to that godly Jesus business. Well, that just kind of spurred her in. She's a smart girl. She's here in the United States of America, and the Gideons are out there passing out these testaments. She's like, we just got done doing it at Murray. We're going to be doing it at Western Kentucky University Monday and Tuesday. She goes and gets it. By golly, she starts reading it. She wants to know what is wrong. Why is this guy so bad? She follows immediately the next thing. Receive Jesus Christ, the Lord's name, puts her name in it, and then she keeps going on and she finds the church. She's the brothers and sisters of Christ. She's rejoiceful in the Spirit of the Lord. She's a happy camper. She goes to church one day and she comes back to her dorm room. Guess who's waiting for her? From India. Her mother and her father. We heard about you. You're ashamed of the family. Pack up your things. We're taking you back to India right now. Immediately. Her last words of her testimony. They got me back to India. But you can hide this little testament in a lot of places. She was able to get back to the United States and get back to that church. She did. And she got that. Praise the Lord. But that's what where we're at in our faith, you know, in the world today. Now, I'll share with you, there's different ways we raise money to continue with these missions. And not everybody can be eligible to be a Gideon, but you can be a friend. You can be a friend of Gideon's. And I was talking to about getting resources, Bibles, cards, and different things, because the Gideon card program, Yes, we have a Gideon card program. I understand you need some more cards. I'm working on that. So these Gideon card programs are a big way for us to raise money. People, you know, we had a woman getting 100 years old. So she wanted 100 cards showing that she made that match. Yeah, in one of the churches. It was awesome. We had a gentleman also becoming 100 years old, and they said, he got over 400 birthday cards. They asked him, which was the best card you received? He goes, it was a Gideon card showing memories being donated in my name, in my memory, or whatnot, you know. But he pointed that out. Gideon cards are a huge way that raise money for this Gideon ministry. The Friends of Gideon, what I like about the Friends of Gideon, it keeps you informed of the Gideon ministry and how we're getting Bibles out there. It also has a store on there for Friends of Gideon's, because we can't provide you Bibles as a church. We're the outreach outside of the church to get people into church. So me getting Bibles, like if you ask me, Dan, can you get me 30 Gideon Bibles so I can put them in the pews of my church, I'd have to say no. You see the separation? We're outside prisons, hospitals. I got a pastor in Katy's who goes to the Gideon Bible in that hospital room, and he reads from that Bible when he's sharing the gospel with someone that's very sick, and they don't believe. But he'll leave that Bible there, and he'll show them. Like, he'll be there reading out of it, and God's word convicts. He'll leave. And on more than one occasion, on many occasions, this pastor has been called back to that hospital. That person to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because they went back and opened that drawer and picked it up and started reading for themselves. And God's word convicted them to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So these are the little things that are happening with God's holy word convicting people through the Holy Spirit, and how God does it. When you read his word, it connects you to your Father. Amen. Yep, our church donations pay for the scriptures that we handed out in Trigg County. Church donations, right? And Friends of Gideon's, the cards, our Bible apps and so forth. I could sit here all day and share different testimonies, but I'm so thankful for the time you've given me to share the Gideon ministry. And I always emphasize to the pastor, please, if there is someone remotely interested in being a Gideon, please, send them my way. How ironic, how awesome it would be. A lot of the churches I go to do not have very small kind. They don't have a men's ministry. Okay? But so what's happening in our area, seven counties of small Gideon camps that are, well, basically struggling. But what God is doing, he's bringing us together by informing those, here I am, send me. As what happened here at Trigg County. We had Gideons from across the counties coming to help support manning that desk and getting out into the public populace, walking up and down the street. Hey, would you be interested in a test, God's holy word? Would you open your hand, be open to that? You know, and you need bodies to do that. What's happening in the churches, I'm starting to recognize, is perhaps because the numbers are so low, that it becomes a men's ministry, interdenominational men's ministry, because my wife loves me dearly. There was a time when I would have to leave on a Saturday morning to go hunting, but now on Saturday morning I'm going to gather with men at a little square table at the Katy's restaurant and pray for our churches and pray for our pastors. We read out loud a chapter in the Bible, out loud. And we pray out loud for the ministry, for our pastors that are getting ready to share the gospel Sunday morning. We have our wives that go and pull into church parking lots and pray for that church and that the pews will be filled in our auxiliary. Power of prayer is real. Is very real. So consider that, if the Lord's speaking you to get involved with this ministry, please reach out to your pastor. And just,
I saw your Gideon thing on your resume out there.
Yeah. Being observant.
It's got quite the background. So, yes. So recognize that. I look at it where the rubber meets the road. And it's personal to me because it was, well, it is what it is. It's the only thing I would listen to was God Almighty in His holy word because I was so broken. There was no way I was going to ever step foot in any church. No way. It was God's holy word, His word that touched my heart. And I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So thank you all so much for having me. It's been a blessing seeing you, Miss Debbie. You look wonderful. Greg and Sabrina, always, thank you so much. And thank you, Pastor, so much. And thank you all. And by the way, that was the most amazing strings I have ever heard.
Maybe we have to live with that compliment.
You do? You really? I was just absolutely, it was a blessing to listen to you all. Thank you, sir. And maybe we do a, I'm sorry, this is the way it goes. You know, Pastor Appreciation Month, right? Well, Gideon's a part of Pastor Appreciation, too. We have a banquet every year. You know, we were blessed to have, I think, 27, Greg was there, 27 pastors at our pastor's banquet this last May. It was Memorial Day weekend. And you were invited, but I don't think you were there.
Were you sick with something?
Yeah, and so we try to help our pastors. We encourage them and send them letters and different things, you know. But we're really down to the bare bones here. But that's okay, because the Gideon name has a history. They were down to 300, and they had to take on 135, and God did it. So I'll end it on that. Thank you so much. It's funny.
Yeah. Thank you.
Amen.
So much.
Thanks
so much.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together and beat a Smiths in a word of prayer. Father, how thankful we are that you are a father to us. And in all of our circumstances and situations, you're more than able to meet us where we are and deal with what we need. I love that last thought that Gideon had a mere 300 in the face of those multitudes that were their enemies, and it was you who came to their aid. So today, Father, may you find faithful 300. We would pray for more, but a faithful band. And do wonderfully, Father, bring glory to yourself and help to your people. Thank you that you are building your church and even the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We rejoice in you this day. Now unto him who's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be honor and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. May we say it together. Amen and amen. God bless you. We're dismissed.